else registered on this item here? Is there anybody else on this Camille Sis, 875 Camille Sis Street, either in opposition or for information or in support? Nobody? Seeing none. John, Dan, it's in your word, but if you've read the report, you're satisfied with it?
Yeah.
It's a pretty straightforward application. I think I understand there's the other charitable donation piece will come to committee.
Yes.
Dan, you're good?
I'm good. I'm
John?
Move on.
Thank you.
Okay.
Good presentation.
Very good work. It's about time you did it slow and easy and gentle like that.
Okay, so. I'll move the report of the public service be taken as read.
All those in favor? Contrary? Carried.
I will move the receipt of
public representations be concluded.
All those in favor? Contrary.
I'll move the recommendation of the Winnipeg Public Service be concurred in and forwarded to EPC for via the priority rezoning process.
All those in favor? Contrary. Carried.
I'll move the public hearing with respect to this application be concluded.
All those in favor? Contrary. Carried. Okay. The other piece is fine. Oh, just for clarity too, there was a misprint on the report where it showed the park lands as being proposed lot one. Proposed lot one is actually the other lands, and there's no designation under, just so we're all aware of that. Okay? Thanks, Robert. Our next item.
So please note that the committee has made a recommendation on this matter that will now proceed to council. No further representations are permitted, and all persons registered for the public hearing will receive notice when the matter is considered by council. Item 2 is a subdivision and rezoning at 1916, 1918, and 1920 St. Mary's Road under file DASZ 38 of 2013. In accordance with the City of Winnipeg Charter and the Development Procedures Bylaw, this is a combined hearing, and the following item will be also heard at the same time, namely, item 3 is a variance at 1916, 1918, and 1920 St. Mary's Road under file DAV 163360 of 2013D.
Okay, we've got a number of people here in support and another number of people here in opposition. So we'll go through our process. Just for everybody's information, when we do have a formal process here, a quasi-judicial process, but for the most part, we're trying to extract information so we can make an informed decision. So what we ask, if there is a representative of a group of people, it's easier if one person speaks, but we always give everybody the opportunity to come down and speak. We just request that if something's been said, we make notes of it, as does the planner. And so we usually pick up on what the major issues are. So we're looking for new information as people come down, and it just helps to move the process along so we're not here till 2 o'clock in the morning like they do in some other community committees. But hopefully we'll get some good information. We'll be able to make an informed decision. John, you can make your presentation.
Yes, and I'll be brief. I understand I'm addressing my comments to the committee this evening, though I understand there's members of the audience, and we hope to cover off some of their questions when we come back later on, because I do believe we do get a chance for rebuttal. So if there's something that we missed now, we'll try to address in a wrap-up. It's not an omission. We're trying to be brief, give some information to the committee, but we'll address any concerns in our wrap-up. We've been working on this project for 2 years.
John, you're presenting together?
Yeah.
Can you just identify everybody that's with you then?
Jeroen Walter from Studio Walter and Walter Development, or Walter International, and Daniel McGivens of the same firm.
Okay.
I'm the applicant on behalf of Walter International. We've been working on this project for about 2 years, having it conceived. We put a commitment into this project. They've invested already a significant amount of money to help stabilize the bank over last winter to reach us a point before we even made our application this past July. We've had a lot of discussion and dialogue with the planning department over the last several months about this project, discussing various things, designs, etc. As part of the application process, we were asked to submit drawings and designs for a building. It was reviewed, analyzed. There are some issues that were coming up regarding plan examination and the planning department. We agree, we understand the planning department's recommending that we only create one lot instead of five lots. We're comfortable with that right now. Our goal was, when we were looking at doing five lots, was to have different buildings on different lots for financial purposes, usually for an instrument to be registered against a land title. We're comfortable with the planning department's recommendation to have only one lot. We've had a lot of discussions with them. We understand, consequently, that all the variances that we've applied for no longer need to be applied for, because a lot of them had to do with substandard yards to from buildings to new lot lines because of the configuration of the lot in relation to the building. So we don't need any of the variances that we originally submitted or applied for or were requested of us. We're supportive of the planning department's recommendation. They're recommending a positive approval to rezone these lands, just one lot to multifamily large and one lot to parks and recreation, basically an open passive park. The open passive park is along the north side of the site, acting as a buffer between our lands and to the single-family dwellings to the north and along the riverbank. We're looking to continue on a pathway along that parkland, along the riverbank. My understanding is the planning department in the city of Winnipeg has a goal of extending that pathway further south to parkland along that area. We're very much looking to facilitate and enable that. Not only does that help open up the parkland and the banks to the public, but once again, it acts as a good significant buffer to the residents to the north. We understand in the conversations with the planning department, and we're acceptable of it, that we're actually providing more than the normal amount of land dedication for park. We understand that and we accept that. Our goal here is to protect as much of the existing trees on the site, which is to the north, and as well as the riverbank. The planning department does have some concerns about heights of buildings. I'll let Yaron get more into that, but at this time we were asked to submit a design of a building. We withdrew it. It's not functional in terms of what we submitted. We understand there's some ideas that we'd like to put into it, but we have no concrete ideas, no designs, nothing substantial. Anything that we come back for in the future, we can do as a short-form subdivision, create lots if we want it, to with one building per lot. And if we need variances, though we're trying to avoid as many variances as possible, it would come back to this community committee after adequate notification. But the only variances we'd be seeking would be substandard yards, which would be internal yards, nothing to the north or not much to the south, maybe to the front yard or to the west against the riverbank. But we're not looking to have substandard parking. We are not looking to have substandard visitor parking. We're not looking to have anything to do with parking. We intend to provide more than enough and sufficient parking on our site. I'll turn it over to Yaron to get more into some of the details.
John, before you leave, can you just tell me, as far as flow, traffic flow to and from the site, it's all to St. Mary's?
All to St. Mary's. We are not directing any traffic onto any private road or anywhere. It's going to be in and off of St. Mary's, and we'll align our ingress, egress to the standards that Public Works is requesting of us, as well as to facilitate fire protection equipment to go into and out of the site. We're not connecting to the private road, or sorry, the public road to the north across the parkland at all.
Okay.
Question to the admin before you get going. I guess I read the report wrong. The body of the report says four lots. The picture says three lots. It's all just one lot now? And
yeah, correct. The recommended schedule is on page 21 of the report. So what was advertised was for the four lots plus the parkland.
Right.
And what we're recommending is the one lot plus the parkland.
Okay.
Which is, it'll be scheduled B in the report, page 21.
Page.
You got the zoning thing, looks like four lots then, but yeah, it's actually five lots when you consider the PR park, land doesn't show as a land, as a lot.
Yeah.
And they were doing that, I believe, because if you phase it, then you don't have to tie the value of this land to that building, is the way
that I think that's why that was happening. I've had one like that before.
Okay.
Okay, you're on.
Yaron Walter, I am here.
Pardon me?
Yeah, actually, Daniel will hand out some drawings here just outlining what we're talking about here right now. I'll try to keep it very brief. I was originally a developer, and with the unfortunate passing of my father as of recently, I'm now the lead designer as well. So, hence, we're trying to untwist this and unscramble this project a little bit more and make it a little more simple going forward. Ernie had very creative ideas, but they quite often push things to the limit a little too much right now. It's great for me to learn, but now we got to be realistic and make some money at this.
And you have our condolences.
Thank you very much. Rather than reiterate everything that John talked about there, for the most part here, we are just going to be withdrawing our application for the variances themselves and any of the internal lots. We just want to have the one big lot at this point, zoned to the RMFL, as well as just, I guess, set in stone where the public reserve is going to be at this point as the buffer. I guess by doing this, I guess with the help of planning and with the neighbors at this point, I want to develop a plan that's going to address everyone's concerns a little more. We were having a series of different height buildings that were going to be casting shadows at different height, at different areas of the lot. Some of them were going to negatively affect some of the river gate homes. Some of them were not. It was sort of a random design, we'll say. I'd like to get something a little more set in stone that really addresses the neighbors' concerns at this point, which the only concern I can really come up with at this point, other than maybe overflow parking, which we will be handling on site, would be shadowing of the homes themselves. I believe there's 7 homes there. Moving forward, I'm going to have Daniel and me will describe the shadowing effects of it, but before we address that in particular, I just want to assure everyone here that we are proceeding with this project. The development company was always my company. My father never had any involvement in it. He strictly was the designer itself. So any concerns that this is going to be a flip property is not at all the objective here at all. We want to push through with it. To date, there's been just shy of $500,000 put into the riverbank stabilization. We've done about 225 feet. 150 feet of that is on our property, and about 75 feet of that is on the property to the south of us, just to ensure that the bank was stabilized. The stabilization studies themselves have resulted in a build line which is consistent with the single-family homes that are currently on the lot and the single-family homes that are neighboring the property. So we're not pushing to go forward to the river in any way whatsoever. We're really staying in the same build line and moving forward towards St. Mary's. What else do I have here? I guess the balance of that bank will, of course, be dedicated for public reserve, which interconnects with the wilderness corridor of 50 feet, which was sort of conceptually come about when I was working on the project Oakleeta Park across the street, and there was a dedication of 60 feet of existing drainage ditch. And the conversations at that point was to allow wildlife to migrate from the Dakota forest down to the riverbanks. This would be an extension of that concept, just slightly to the, I guess, south of it by maybe a few hundred feet, maybe not even that, maybe about 75 feet from the Oakleeta Park side. No, about 200, I'm sorry. Further to this 50-foot buffer that we're showing as the wilderness corridor, we also have an easement on the property for the City of Winnipeg pump house that's there. We can't move that pump house at this stage. It's not feasible to the overall project. So ultimately, the buffer zone, the public reserve is 50 feet. We have an additional, 65 feet of our land that we can't build on. So ultimately, from the north property line of Rivergate, no buildings will be within 115 feet. So buildings are quite far away at that stage. Again, we are fully in agreement with the planner in terms of taking this as one property. We do have a little bit of a concern with the 100-foot height, though, that he's suggesting. I understand that the 100-foot height is definitely a negative to, or exceeding 100 feet would be a negative to the Rivergate properties, as they will cast shadows. What I'm asking for at this point, or asking if we could possibly be not nailed down to a height restriction on the last third of the property, which would be the most south. Ultimately, as Daniel will take you through it, the first third of the property closest to Rivergate would be no buildings whatsoever. The middle third would be 100-foot height restriction as recommended by planning, and the last third would be 150-foot height restriction within the RMFL standards. Daniel will demonstrate how the 150-foot shadow is actually within the 100-foot shadow, so it doesn't negatively affect the properties on Rivergate to the north. The property to the south, the gentleman is actually here tonight to speak in support, I believe, and he doesn't seem to have a concern with the increased height. I believe his intention is to actually proceed with a development similar to this one going forward. Other than that, I think, Daniel, do you want to take it from here and talk about the two height differences, the 150 and the 100, as well as the existing trees on the site, which seem to cast a bigger shadow than the buildings themselves do?
I handed you a document with four pages in it. The first page just shows the outlines of the zoning area, so it's pretty straight standard. I just wanted to make sure there's one provided in case there's some confusion from the documents that have been circulated back and forth between us and the city. So if you look at the second page, this would be the absolute worst that the sun could be in this. This is January. I'm using a time 2 p.m. on this particular with this sun study. And what you're seeing there, if you look on the left, there's a 50-foot tree line, 100-foot mass shadow, and 150-foot mass shadow. And it's showing each of those lines shows how far the shadows go on the neighboring property. This is in the dead of winter when, frankly, like everything casts shadows. I just wanted to get that out of the way to show you what the possible worst scenario would be with sun from something we'd be proposing. In some cases, even just a 100-foot mass building set against the easement on the property would cast a larger shadow than something that's the most southern third of the property that we're proposing to be a larger height. Now, I'm showing you at its worst here, but if you look at the next page, I'm just referring to April, so the summer, spring in this case. Our shadows during April do not even extend past our property. If anything, the neighbors are merely shadowed by the trees, and I'm proposing that these trees are already 50 feet high. They could, frankly, I think they're closer to 70, but I just chose a height that at least would be acceptable. And so during the spring months and fall months, the shadows never leave our property. During the summer,
10 a.m. in April, that's the greatest shadow effect at that time of day?
Yeah. I'm missing one page that shows the summer months, and it's even less for the shadow extent. Really, we're trying to say that a 100-foot building provides no more shadows than a 100-foot building. Or that if we had a portion that was at 100 feet, that would be set against the southernmost part of our property. So we want a little bit of flexibility in height for what we propose. If we were simply locked into 100 feet across the property, it would give us not a lot of flexibility to have variations in our roof line. We'd like to have maybe something more interesting than just a box. What we're showing here is just two very large masses. We would never build a building that big. I basically took the entire buildable area that we could with honoring all the offsets that are required by the zoning restriction and just put a giant mass in there. In reality, the masses on this site, it would probably be about a third of the size of this, at least in width. We're here mostly to talk about height to make sure that we at least know what we're designing with before we go forward. Any questions pertaining to the, sun study or however you want to think of this?
Okay. I'm sure there's going to be lots of questions about this as we go forward. Do you guys have anything right now, Dan?
Your second page in the package you handed out.
I know that my printer did something. I have a larger print out here. I thought we'd be in a smaller room, so I had a set of posters too. But I can show you those.
You've got the other one there that shows the.
You said this was, anyhow, the second page. You said it was January.
Yes.
Okay, there it is. Yeah.
The 3 months that I meant to cover were January, April, and October.
April. Good.
So I have one here for October that you probably don't have in that package.
Yeah, I didn't see the dates there, but I see them now.
So on the left side. Well,
okay, so what's that one you're holding right now?
This is October.
Okay, that's the one we don't have.
Yes, I somehow managed to print two of one when I was printing it off at the end of the day. So if you look at the lines or the labels on the left-hand side of your paper, they say they show the lines of where the shadows would be cast from various parts of the building. In October, yes, our shadows leave the building slightly, or leave our property slightly, but it's definitely no more than the trees that exist on our property already cast onto them. And it's frankly, minimal, because it reduces in effect as the day goes on quite drastically. It's only the morning sunlight that is potentially shaded at all, because in the afternoon the sun swings around and is only cast onto St. Mary's. It never exceeds past that towards the south. So the shadows do an arc from here down to here on the property.
Okay. Now, can somebody, I mean, I understand the shadow casting. We see that stuff on a regular basis. But there's also the argument that I'm sure will come up is the context of the much higher buildings relative to the rest of the neighborhood. Can you offer anything there? Because people are going to come down. They're going to make the representation. I'd like to have something on the front end for them to understand what your perspective is on that.
First off, I'd like to reference the trees on the site one more time. All the way around the property, including St. Mary's and bordering on Rivergate, the trees are about 50 to 70 feet high. And if you're using any perspective from any of the surrounding area, like if you're on St. Mary's, or if you're across St. Mary's, or if you're on Rivergate, and you look up, you will not be seeing our buildings, which is the way that the sight lines would work. We'll have these very massive trees acting as a buffer to our lot. I know this, I'm detailing the best situation in spring or summer when there is trees in full bloom, but frankly, a lot of the trees on that site are also evergreen. They'll keep their needles, they'll keep their foliage. Despite proposing a very large building, our setbacks from the property lines are of such a large scale that we...
I guess from a standpoint of the developer, though, it's really just feasibility. We've done a large dedication of land for the reserve, plus we have this easement that's sort of, we've taken a whole chunk of 115 feet to the north, and then as well as, I believe it's from the rear, we've taken another 80, no, it's far more than 80, 80s to the buildable area. It's about 200 feet to the riverbank that we're just dedicating. The easement further complicates things. As well as now we have the further investment of the stabilization of the bank. So from a feasibility standpoint, the project just can't work at a lower height at this point. From the get-go, we never thought it was going to be a concern. It seemed like a natural animal to put in this place. It's sort of similar to the heights across the river at U of M. Maybe not as close to the riverside, but some of the new housing developments there. And it's really one of the most beautiful views in the city. It's going to view the stadium. It's going to view down the river on both sides. It just seems like a very qualitative project. And to not maximize its height would be a shame, I think. That's really all I can speak to for that side of things.
Okay. Well, listen to the rest of the folks here. You got anything to add?
One last thing. I'd like to reiterate parking.
Pardon me?
I'd just like to reiterate our intentions to comply with all parking guidelines because we were not quite firm on our building proposal. We were not being quite firm on our amount of parking we'd be providing because there's a lot of density questions going back and forth between us and the planning department, and it came out that we were wanting to apply for insufficient visitor parking. That's never our intention. We will comply. Like we had parking numbers that were hitting 1.5 per resident, so we're definitely not going to run into problems. So any variances for parking will not happen once we have a final building proposal that makes sense for the property.
Councillor Vandell.
I just wanted to make sure I understood what you said a few minutes ago, is that you don't have any detailed plans for any buildings at this point.
We had detailed plans, but since the restrictions for the 100 feet, we had to sort of set those aside because we can't get the density we need once we chop five stories off some of those buildings. So now that we want to step down, we're looking at stepping down and then going back up on the redesigning the thing ultimately with the higher masses being at the south side and the smaller masses being on the north side.
And the most northerly third of the property, there would be no buildings on there?
The most northerly, there'd be no buildings whatsoever for 115 feet from Rivergate.
Got it. Okay.
50 of that is the reserve, public reserve, and then there's the additional easement. In reality, I would have given more land to the public reserve, although we do need it for parking, unfortunately. That's where we do need some surface area for parking, for fire trucks to get around and whatnot.
Right, right, okay.
Any other questions?
No.
Just the pump house you referenced, I'm just trying to visualize that. Is that on the easement, or where is that?
I'm sorry.
If you'd like to see where the easement is on our property, if you go back to the first page of that document I gave you, there is two black dotted lines that run through the upper third of the property.
25 feet wide.
Okay.
That is the easement that is for stormwater drain through our property. We can't build on top of it, and we would be very hard-pressed to fit a building in the north portion of that, of this lot anyway. So we were already quite inclined to donate the upper portion of it to the reserve, but then when Parks came back to us and asked us why we were donating so much, they recommended we take some back, and we did.
Well, and we also took it back to alleviate any concerns of the visitor parking, because that was something raised by the residents as a concern. We wanted to make sure we had enough land area to put some additional parking if need be. The intent is for most of the parking to be underground, but as you can imagine, it's we can only go so far underground on these riverbank areas, so we don't want to go more than one story below grade, so any residual parking is going to have to be on the surface.
Okay. I see Gord Steves has joined this group. Gord, you're registered. Are you here to speak with this group, or you're just here in support? Okay, very good.
Thank you.
Okay, also in support, you can speak if you want. You don't have to. Richard Friesen.
Good evening. Been here before, Mr. Swandell. I support the project to the south of me, which is going underway one of these days, I believe. I am tucked in between these two projects at 1922 and 1924 St. Mary's Road. I've been dealing with and talking to you, Ron's father, Ernie, for the past 2 years, and I am completely in support of this project. I've been a resident there for 25 years, and I believe what's coming down the pipe here for St. Mary's Road on this extent of property is the right thing to do. I also understand some of the hurdles that URON is running into, and we ourselves intend to participate and be part of the future of any further rezoning potentially on the two properties that I have tucked in between these two projects. We respect what's going on to the north with the shadowing effect, and I have, since I've been a resident there, the sun does fall at the southwest riverbank at this time of year, and high time in summertime, the sun goes down on the northwest riverbank, which means the shadowing would be toward St. Mary's Road. I think it's a beautiful project they had outlaid, and I understand that there's some changes happening now, but I am in 100% support of this project.
Okay, thank you. Any questions?
Thank you.
No? Thank you, Richard. Next in support, I have, pardon the pronunciation, but Yi Zhang and Guan Sun, Sun, just here in support, or would you like to speak in support? Okay, it looks like I'm into opposition. Now, is anybody else here in support whose name I haven't called? No? Okay, opposition. Is there anybody speaking for a group, or I just want to call every name and we'll let it go? Well, if there's some representative group of, because I understand that most of the opposition is River Great Drive, so if you guys come down, you want to speak as a group? Then we'll get your names, and I'll just stroke them off as we identify you. Just want to remind you you all that as you speak in opposition, you only have the one opportunity to speak, so you want to make sure that you've got all your stuff out for the record. The applicant does get to come back and rebut, but the opposition is just the one opportunity.
So I speak, and then they can all speak, each one.
Yeah, well, if you want
we,
to do it...
We have a general point, and then each have individual points.
Okay, well, let's just... what's your name?
My name is Loyal Hull.
Loyal?
Loyal Hull.
Hull. Okay,
Hull.
Loyal.
H-U-L-L.
What I'll do is I'll get you to speak first, and I'll just call the other names out after. So if you guys can just sort of... There's a bench at the back there. And I'll call the other names going forward. Okay, so Loyal, you can go ahead.
Well, we're against any rezoning. It's totally incompatible with the area as we see it. I mean, it'll be a huge dramatic change in our lifestyle, our privacy. It'll be a new density. We look across the street at Ocalita, where they built single detached bungalows, which are one-story, wonderful development. It's 500 feet away from us, so we're expecting and we're expecting that kind of development, and we're getting instead something that's almost obscene. We expect the same treatment that they got at Ocalita. I mean, there's no three-story for 500 yards. There's no two-story for a mile, nothing over two-story. There'll be an increase in traffic that Botanica is dysfunctional now. It would be an onerous increase that I don't think the area can handle. We should note that the notification came out to us around December 15th, and the material wasn't given to us till Thursday. And then we looked out, and we see these 10-by-5 signs, four of them across the property. When this original zoning came out, there was a small 8.5-11 piece of paper that anybody walking down the street, if they could understand what it was, I'll give them $100. So that's when this came about, and that's when we probably should have made our representation. Now they spend $500,000, and then they put up these 10-foot signs for us to object to. You should realize it's antagonistic. However, if you do go ahead, we would have an appraisal now. We'll have an appraisal after. And we'll have to sue the city, the developers, and the architects for the difference. In addition, we would sue for our loss of many of the privileges we have now. We speak of shadows. Well, I look at the sun rise in my dining room for 30 years, and it's beautiful. That will be snuffed out. We have a riverbank property. Theirs is shored up, but ours isn't. This is unstable property. The city built a pump house, a gate valve for a backup. We're calculating our damages now, and it looks like it could be many thousands of dollars. We would expect a building here of any kind to damage our houses considerably in structure, windows. We would think we would need $1 million deposit from escrow to offset that. We wouldn't want to be chasing a contractor forever. Well, those are my objections.
Thank you, Loyal. Next on my list, I have Ray Godin.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Ray Godin from Three River Gate Drive. I'm in objection to the zoning or rezoning of that particular area. And I'll give it over to one of my representatives here to continue.
Thank you, Ray. Next, I have Dale Milne.
Good evening, and thank you for this opportunity to speak. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I want to use the words that the developer used. It's one of the most beautiful views in the city. I'm at 23 River Gate. I'm on the Red River. I pay some of the highest taxes in the city, and I'm pleased to do so because I purchased that property because of the views that it has, the privacy that it has. People are amazed. You walk into my backyard and you look out, you cannot see another house, where the neighbors are, where the trees are. I like that privacy, and I enjoy that, and I paid a premium for that, and I'm pleased to do that. If you put a 150-foot property, I don't care how much allotment, how much buffer zone is there, somebody that's sitting in a balcony, and those will be premium properties with balconies overlooking that river view, they're looking right into my backyard, right into my neighbor's backyard. We've compromised, we've lost that privacy. It has nothing to do with shadows or shadows moving because those trees are there. And quite frankly, the view of a 75 or a 50-foot spruce tree as opposed to a 150-foot monstrosity, you can't compare them. You can't compare the two. We paid premium price for riverbank property, and I am one of the people. The gate valve was, some of the piles were driven 8 feet from my home, and I am working with the city. We do have significant damages. I've had one window that's already broken. I've got probably 8 or 9 where the seals are gone. I've got significant cracking, and I did have a pre-engineering report done, and the engineer does have photographs and documentations. So I do have concerns as well with the construction, with the stabilization, and being directly on the riverbank, issues with that as well. But I think there are no 15-story buildings. There are no 10-story buildings from Bishop Grandin to the perimeter. They don't exist on that side of the street. It is not conducive with our neighborhood. You look at what they do in Osborne Village and Osborne Park, trying to keep the integrity of that neighborhood. I think anything above 3 stories is completely unacceptable, and I think we lose the integrity and we lose the privacy that we've got in the yards and in the properties that we've purchased and the taxes that we pay for. Those are my concerns. Thank you.
Question, sir, just a second. Dan?
Does it mitigate your concerns at all, the fact that there's nothing in the most northerly third?
No, because if you've got people right now, if I invited you to my backyard, you could sit there and it's completely private. And it's a beautiful setting. If they're immediately to the south of me is a 150-foot building, or even a 100-foot building, a 10-story apartment building with people sitting out on those balconies, they're going to look absolutely right down into my backyard, and Ray St. Hilaire, who is unfortunately unable to be here this evening, he is the other river property. You can't mitigate that. And when we purchased that property, we purchased it for those exact reasons. That, and again, as the developer said, it's one of the most beautiful views in the city. Why would you destroy it? And why would you destroy the privacy for all of us there? It's not just us, but even the condos further to the north of us.
But isn't the most beautiful view west?
Yeah, absolutely, as you look out across the river, but
right, yeah.
We lose all of our privacy.
Okay.
People
fair
sitting
enough.
Up on balconies and barbecues and the density of the population, that diminishes my property significantly.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Brian, you got a question?
Can you sort of, because the maps we're looking at here have between Rivergate Drive, rear property line, and the river, there's public reserve land. So are you...
Actually, that easement? Are you speaking of the easement
no.
between... Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm speaking of what lies west of the two or... looks like there are two properties at the west end of Rivergate?
Yes.
You're saying you're one of those, I presume. But
yes.
There's public reserve land between you and the river, or are you saying you own all the way down?
No. There is public reserve for the riverbank. Everybody has that. But what I'm saying, my backyard, the views on that, if you put a 100-story or 100-foot building up there, and presumably the highest-priced apartments or condos or whatever they are going to be the ones with the river view, and they're going to have large balconies, they're going to have access.
I understand that point, that you've made that point clearly. I'm just trying to sort out... Okay, so there is, between your back line and the river, there is public reserve land.
Absolutely. Okay. There is all along the river.
Yeah.
Well, that's what this is. We always do that whenever we rezone along there. We're trying to connect a greenway from St. Vitale Park all the way up to Maple Grove Park. But it's a lifetime to get it all. Okay.
So shadowing, I just want to make a point. Shadowing is not an issue for us. It's the privacy. It's the lack of privacy.
No, and I think that's a fair point. It's the view line, not the shadow line.
Exactly. And if they had a 3-story building, which is conducive to everything else along that whole way, we don't have that issue.
Okay. Next on my list, I have Ken MacArthur in opposition. Ken?
Yes, thank you. My name is Ken MacArthur. I live at 7 Rivergate, which is the second street in. We're relative newcomers to the area. We purchased there approximately 6 or 7 years ago. And I will concur. My neighbors, we've had a discussion. I concur with everything that we've talked about so far. I'll just say that when we purchased the property, we purchased it for a reason. It was the house that we were purchasing, but it was also the area. And when we have visitors, everyone remarks on the beauty of the area. Like we have trees. It isn't that the trees are like a building. The trees are spaced. There is space between the trees. You can see lawns beyond it. I believe the zoning is residential that we're looking out. What disturbs me is that our life is altered you know, if this development does go, and I understand the reason for developments, but what you've done is we, 7 years ago, we've been living there, we love the place, we love, you know, everyone that comes says this is just a beautiful area that you live in. You're changing it. You've now put in like buildings. You have humanity that are just locked in on top of each other. In my view, that's my humble opinion, that you're creating a pocket of humanity that changes what we have, what we bought, what we appreciate about the city of Winnipeg, about living here on our street. And so that's all I'll say, is that my concerns are the alteration, like from where we were and where we're going. Concerns, you know, that we've talked about here, I'm not going to go over again, but it's just how much we're going to be changed as a result of the development. That's what I had to say. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ken. Okay, next in. Oh, sorry, Ken, can you come back for a second? Councillor Mays has a question.
One question. Ken, do you have any idea how old the houses on Rivergate are?
Sorry?
Any idea how old the houses on Rivergate are?
What? I'm sorry, I don't.
The neighbor, I think the fellow behind you has an answer.
Most of the homes built there were around the 86, 87.
Yeah.
88.
Okay. Thank you.
86, in that zone. Next, I have Kevin Eisler.
Eisler. Hi, I'm Kevin Eisler. I also live in Rivergate. I'm at number 11. I've been there. My wife and I bought the home there about 13 years ago. And basically, I completely agree with my neighbors. Dale made a number of points that I basically was going to make, so I'm not going to go over them again. But I think our primary concern, or at least my primary concern, is looking out our front to the south. That's our home faces Rivergate, which is south facing. You know, we've always enjoyed looking at the tree line, looking at the whole street as a whole is very, very private, and it looks almost like a gated community. And I think, you know, it just goes without saying that looking at a 150-foot structure well over the tree line is going to be a bit of an albatross in our neighborhood. And I've looked up and down the streets. There's a tremendous amount of development going on towards John Forsyth and all those areas up and down. I can't find anything that would compare to a building like this or a construction project like this. I mean, I can appreciate the developer's enthusiasm and whatnot, and I fully understand. You know, it's a great location. All of those things all add up to potentially a great revenue-bearing project. But I'm afraid I'm looking at it through my homeowner's eyes and my whole life's investment. And I'm heading for retirement in the next little while. You know, it largely hinges on the sale of my property. And I'm sure my neighbors are in similar situations. So, quite frankly, what I'm not looking forward to is a number of years down the road trying to sell my property and having it seriously negatively impacted by a project like this. So I would appeal to you to consider this as a serious issue. I think, you know, should it go ahead, I would like to think that common sense would enter into this and certainly look at this project at a bit of a scaled back situation where, you know, we could bring that height down to something. And I'm making an assumption that, you know, traffic flows and overflow parking and all that kind of thing would all be adhered to. I've got a grocery list of items here that I could think of that would potentially negatively impact, you know, our living on the street. But I'm going to be confident that those things would be addressed by what John was saying earlier. It certainly sounds like, you know, they are considering us, but I think our primary concern is what we used to have as a view, should this go ahead, and our property values. I think those two things are pretty important to all of us. So,
Kevin, we listen to a lot of this on a regular basis. You know, a lot of different applications. You know, you're all quite articulate and reasonably minded, it would appear. Plan Winnipeg is driving us towards trying to make decisions where we're increasing density in our neighborhoods. you know, I appreciate what you're saying about the height. You know, that's my sense is that there's nothing that is similar to this. I also understand the economics of it as well. Because as, if somebody comes forward with something else, if I try and tweak and, you know, make something fit, it might just sit there, it might sit as vacant property, which oftentimes can be far more adverse impact on on folks than a development. When you talk about lower heights or better sight lines, do you have anything in mind, or are you?
Well, I mean, I don't think we can find anything much higher than four full floors in our whole area. The Dakota House over on Dakota is at one part of it is four stories high. I drove around. I know that the waterfront condominiums that are just down the street from us, I believe, are only four floors high. I mean, even if it was five floors, but 15, to be truthful, is outrageous. I think that's, you know, for our neighborhood, great for a property somewhere closer to, you know, higher density area,
It's interesting because, you know, I'll just give you a bit of anecdotal information. When they brought forward the application for the rezoning at Okalita, you know, the stuff that goes through to Dakota,
right.
My original impression was the best thing to do is put something high in the middle of it.
Right.
But the community was completely opposed to that. What they wanted was low and covering the whole piece of land. So, you know, as all the bungalow condos spread out all over it, you'd lose a ton of green space.
Right.
You know, and the sort of the separation, you know, I would have thought that would have been more beneficial. But through the consultation process with the neighbors, they found that the lower was much more desired than going up with something in the middle. So,
yeah.
And there's no round peg, round hole here. They're all round peg, square holes,
yeah.
And we deal with it. And so I want to thank you for all of you for being reasonable in the representation that you're making. And we'll certainly take the applicants to task as we go forward here.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, next on my list in opposition, I have John Casey. Casey, John, did you want to speak or just, you're for information. Is there anybody else here in opposition whose name I didn't call? No? John, did you want to say anything or? Go ahead, you're here for information. Where am I mixed up here? These for information.
Hi, my name is John Catchy.
Catchy. Sorry, John, I never get it right.
It's all right. It's an ongoing thing. I'm in opposite. I first wanted to come for information for that height restrictions that I'm hearing that it's going to be going to 100. Between 100 and 150 feet. I'm opposed to that also because I just lived down the street in 1950 St. Mary's Road, and I know adjacent to my property now there's going to be four-story buildings happening, and there's going to be quite an intensity happening there already. And now putting this 10 or 15-story building further down the road from us, it's going to make it even worse. And since I've moved back into my property there, I have these gates in the front of my property, and that corner is very dangerous. As people are coming down, speeding that corner, and increasing the intensity in that area, I don't think it's going to be good for any one of us or for the city. So I'm hoping that you guys can kind of take into consideration that there is other people besides these investors wanting to build these monstrosities around, you know, the residential areas.
Okay. Thank you, John. Any questions? Brian?
This is not my part of St. Vitale, so I'm just trying to visualize. Are you in the waterfront condos then? Is that 1950 or is that further south?
I'm just before the waterfront.
Okay.
He's on the other side of the one that we did how long ago? 2 months ago?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I was here opposing that also, but, you know, I understand that things have to move on.
But he also developed on the other side of the road.
Okay.
A little bit.
Okay, so
not that kind of height.
Okay, so waterfront is four stories, I think that was right, 5 stories.
The waterfront is south of me.
Okay.
They're south.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, John. You can stand on. Just want to ask a couple of questions of the administration before we get the applicant to come back and rebuttal. The transportation side, I heard the representation from the applicant. Is there any major improvements to be made or an intersection alignment? Can you give me a little bit better detail on what that means?
Well, the approach itself, they have to line up across the street with Britannica and upgrade it. I think they have to put in traffic signals, too.
The signalization has to happen?
Yeah.
There's, are you sure, yeah. Greg, or are you?
Yeah, there's existing signalization now.
So yes. They would have to align with that, and they would have to pay their...
Put in a fourth leg.
The fourth light.
Yeah.
Now, what is that? Does that do anything for, like, what I was just noticing when I was looking at my aerial, the guys that leave from Rivergate, I think they have to come to do a U-turn to go back, if I'm not mistaken. What does that do? Does that have any negative impact?
From Rivergate, you mean going south and then...
Like, if they want to head north to go to downtown, I think they have to do a U-turn to get out right now.
Well, I don't know if it would have any impact on it because it's going to be...
It'll be the same.
Signalized
just have to wait.
It'll just have another leg to it.
Right? It would be the same.
Yeah.
And anybody comes out, so when these guys go north, they'll just be creating a north... So out of the new development, you'll have left-turning north traffic, but that would be on the red light for the other guys, right?
Yep.
Okay. Okay, we'll have the applicant come back down. John, I just want to start by saying a couple of things to you.
Yeah.
You know, by no means have I made a decision here, but the height greatly bothers me. And I said, you know, people have approached me about this piece of land over the years and trying to figure out what works here. And I've talked to them about the riverbank stabilization being an issue and the cost of that, and you got to factor all that in. Never in my wildest dreams did I think that somebody would come with a proposal for 10 to 15 stories. We've always moved ahead with some increase in density in St. Mary's, especially on the riverside. It's attractive, our aging population, and, you know, I don't know how old some of the people are that live on Rivergate, but if there's quality product there, we've seen it in other places where they end up as they retire or want to, you know, empty nester house. They're looking for something in close proximity to their neighborhood. So I'm not adverse to something going here, but I got to tell you, the height is a real barrier. And so I need to get a sense out of you if there's something that you can do with a much more reasonable height. I think all the other issues you can deal with. And, you know, it's fair comment from neighboring properties that their view is going to change to a certain extent, especially in the winter. I mean, I live on the river. I've had the beauty of living on a 6-acre site inside the city at one point where I couldn't see anybody except when the leaves fell off the trees. And now, you know, I got sort of 75 foot wide, and somebody almost described exactly what my scenario is, and I know how I would feel. Because it's not the sun, it is the view, it is the sight lines, it's just the general impact. So I want you to consider that, Rand, John, as you go forward here. You've requested RMFL zoning, which is our highest and densest. I'm willing to work with you to a certain extent because I think this is, you know, the right place to be doing this. It's high demand, this type of multifamily right now, and it has to do with our aging population and that baby boomer demographic. But you got to give me something to work with because if it's just me saying, if you're stuck at 10 and 15 stories, there's not much point in playing around here.
Okay, hold one second. Thank you, Councillor. Yeah, I can greatly appreciate the neighbours, greatly respect them coming out here. Actually, one of them I know quite well, and I respect his views, and we agree. We're looking for the multifamily large category, because it's about density, not so much about height, whether it's Oakleta Park or whatever. We're looking to try to get as many dwelling units on it to make the project work. When you get into running a performer or the real estate numbers on this, considering the amount of park space we're giving, the amount of land that we have to fit as many dwelling units as we can on the land to try to recuperate the cost. So we're not that wed to the height either. We understand the concerns of the residents, and we're prepared to work with the community committee, especially with the ward councillor. One of the clauses that is attached that the planning department is recommending is something called plan approval, where the design of the building will eventually come back to the community committee here for your final approval before a building permit will get issued. So we're not that wed to the height either. We're looking for the multifamily large so we can get the number of dwelling units. And we don't have a design either. We asked to submit one, but we're not wed to that design either. So we're pretty open too.
What's your required setback off of St. Mary's right now?
I do believe, and Rob can correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't it, because at one point we were looking at a variance, and wasn't it not 25 feet or something like that?
It was large. It was because they do it.
Because they did an alignment.
Yeah. Off the alignment, it ends up being quite significant.
Because on the drawing I'm looking at, it's 50 feet.
Yeah, it's 72 is actually the required front yard off St. Mary's because of the result of the alignment.
And do you have, is one of the variances to deal with the St. Mary's?
No, yeah. Originally, but we withdrew it because right. we don't have, we, we're
so
not
not
right
even
to any
the
design.
Stuff that we have in here, right?
Yes.
Okay. If I were to suggest to you 6 stories closer to Rivergate and 8 stories on the south end, is that workable?
Definitely do our best to make it work. Again, it's all a matter of numbers in the end and making sure we can.
Well, that's a business decision.
Yeah.
But I agree with the folks that they're, you know, 10 and 15 stories is it's imposing. You know, I don't know what any other term. And you know, the term I like, and we use it in variances, is substantial adverse effect. You know, people can build things and change views, and there's existing rights that go on there. There's no doubt in my mind that 10 and 15 stories is substantial adverse effect. You benefit in your situation in that across the street from you, you don't have a lot of single family like we had the last one we did. It was the people that were on the east side that because they can see this huge building as a single family. So, I mean, your impact is on the north side. You've got a huge buffer there. You know, and I've seen, and I don't live in this world of building buildings, you know, 4 stories, 6 stories, 8 stories, 10 stories, but I know we did one. It was in a much easier situation to deal with out on Bison Drive, where I think we approved 10 stories, but because of the cost of going to 10, there's some building code things that changed. They didn't go all the way to 10. I think they only went to 8.
I was involved in that project as well, I think. Yeah. This one.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's like, what's the point in having a fight with a 10-story building if even the 10-story number creates other economic challenges in the development? So, anyway, I'll let you finish up, give your presentation, give your rebuttal here to folks. And
we agree, and some of the information I'm providing now is for the benefit of the audience, too. Once you go over a floor plate of over 60 feet, you're getting into something called high-rise construction. If you drive around Winnipeg, I probably have been involved in about a couple hundred development applications involving tall buildings. I only know about a handful, maybe 3 or 4, that eventually get constructed, because once you go over 60 feet, you're getting into a different type of building construction. You're bringing in a crane, you're bringing in expertise of in terms of workers, etc. Generally, most buildings constructed over the last 10 years for residential, even though they're multifamily zoned large, is generally somewhere between 4 to 6 stories, depending on your parking model and whether you're sinking into the ground for a basement or above ground or etc. I believe that's probably pretty doable for this developer as well. Generally, that's what you mostly see. And I've been all the way to provincial court for a building that still hasn't been constructed because of height was a concern for the residents. It's just it's a nice ideal. Generally, we're looking, once again, back to density. We're not wed to a particular height. We're comfortable with whatever you want in terms of phasing for heights along the property. We have no exact specific location where we think a 6 or an 8 will work. We're looking for something that's reasonable to work with the residents. Prior to coming towards your community committee for plan approval, which would be a condition should this get approved tonight, we'd be more than happy to sit down with the residents, show them what we're doing. Once again, probably the timeline for when this might even get constructed we're more than a few years away from it. The last time I went to a public hearing to construct a tall building was in 2003, and that building is just under construction now. It takes more than a few years to get going on some projects that are of this scale.
Okay, and just for clarification, I think you guys are, you're showing 40 feet and 25 feet. Just the setback on the north side, the numbers that you have on your drawing here, this
yeah,
one.
Yeah. Another one.
I've got 50 feet, then I got 40 feet, then I got 25 feet. Can you just tell me again exactly what that represents?
The 50 feet is a public reserve, so that will actually be...
And that's from the property line or from the middle of the road is that being measured?
That's from the property line.
Property line, okay.
And then the next 40 feet is our land, but we are going to be utilizing it for possibly surface parking or laneway access or fire truck access, like circulation on the site primarily. We won't be building there. And then the next 25 feet is the easement from the pump house or the, someone else said the proper terminology for it. And that's a no-build zone anyways.
That's got pipe under there?
Correct.
Okay.
So ultimately,
that's
no-build.
So you got 50, 90, 25, 115 feet of setback from the property line.
Now, if I am restricted to something like a seven-story height or a six-story height, I may have to look at now the feasibility of using that 40-foot area for maybe some low, I don't know, townhouse sort of style buildings or something along those lines, just to try to get the density up on this lot, because there's just not much area to build on and to make this feasible. We took a risk, a big gamble, obviously, by doing $500,000 worth of stabilization.
Yep.
And looks like it's a scary one right now. So I've got to crunch the numbers.
Well, you know, I've talked to various different people on this before the application was made, and I was very clear with them all that it's a challenging site. I'm a little surprised that the setback is 72 feet. That doesn't seem by alignment, because I don't know where you're grabbing that. Is that the average?
It's the average, yeah. And then they base it on the...
But you're not using their property for the setback, are you? The applicant's property?
I don't believe they use that.
Because we were way back
there.
But you guys are like 100, but the first house on Rivergate isn't 72 feet back. It's maybe 20 feet back, 25 feet. You lose a lot of land in that setback, on that St. Mary's setback, but you haven't got a variance here for it.
Right. Well, we weren't going to be going for actual variance at this point. We just wanted to sort of see where our cap off is. So I guess at this stage, it's sounding like something around 6 or 7 feet is what you're most comfortable with.
We're in the middle of a public hearing. I'm telling you that I'm not comfortable with the height.
Okay.
And I think it's a reasonable argument from people, and I think there's got to be a way to mitigate this. You know, business decisions that are made about putting money into land, not my problem.
No, I realize that.
The problem here is we want to keep going, we want the density, we want what Tom Winnipeg is asking us to do, but we want to do it in a reasonable fashion. Mm-hmm. And you know, the people that presented tonight, they appear to be reasonable people, mm-hmm. You know. Everybody wants to come out and create a hard position and try and get their way, and that's our job. We balance that out. So, you know, if there's anything else you want to rebut, now is the time. And the other councillors may have some questions. I don't know.
Well, at this stage, I guess I would really just like to suggest that we take some recommendations for lower massing at this stage, if we can all come to a decision on that today. And I'll go back to the drawing board to see what I can do. Likely will include coming back at a later date for some variances closer to St. Mary's, but not affecting any of the surrounding properties.
I want you, if you're thinking about doing that, if we do decide to do something that you want to bear in mind, that if you look at those, like especially the first house on Rivergate, there is a sight line there that's affected by that. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could say all four of them or so, but you're going to be permitted to do something up to 72 feet. So it's really the first house that is affected. So you may want to try and mitigate that as you go forward.
With what you're suggesting in the first bit of the property closest to St. Mary's, that's where a lot of some of the nicest trees and old growth is, and where we're proposing our building to come up to on the river is actually in line with the neighboring property where his house extends to. So his concerns about privacy, like where he would walk out onto his the backyard and look.
That's not the issue I'm thinking about. I'm not, I get that argument. I can see where the lines are. I can see that on the map. I understand. But it's a legitimate concern that, you know, from any of those houses, not just the ones on the river, that if you've got, a 10 or 15 story tower, it's like 100 balconies looking down on you, whatever it is, whether you're on the riverside or on the other side of those balconies, you're still looking down on all those residences. That is a legitimate concern. The site you have, part of it is going to be that large mass. You know, and I appreciate the amount of setback that you have on that side. That's substantial. We don't usually see that. You know, it's very seldom that you would see that. But there was a number of other things that were mentioned. I don't know if you want to speak to any of them from the people. There was the traffic was one. That's why I asked a question on traffic. If you have any more information on traffic, I think you might want to put that on the table now.
Just to go through some of the concerns that the speakers spoke about regarding privacy, really recognize that, but I just want to remind the committee that we are providing a public park right across the street from these people's houses. Even some of the biggest mansions along Wellington Crescent and Royal Woods look across from a house from each other on a double-loaded street. These folks will get to look across at the park, and we're keeping trees in terms of a view such as that. In terms of assessment, comes up almost every public hearing I've ever been to. I've yet to see a study produced to show that house values decreased when a project like this has been approved, and I've been to provincial court in a fight over this. I've yet to see a study produced on something like that. That has been an argument used at public hearings going back more than 20 years. Still haven't seen a study showing that your value of your house will go down because of a taller building nearby. In terms of posting, we posted our site with, as you heard the speaker say, that was in requirement with the City of Winnipeg. We actually posted it more than a few days before the 14 days requirement, just before Christmas time. It wasn't supposed to be up until after Christmas. We tried to get the poster up there as soon as we could, as soon as we got the poster from the City of Winnipeg. It's large sheets of plywood to let people know of the hearing. I'm not sure about
the papers, John?
And there was two ads in the daily paper and the free press. We made sure that was all done. I know for a fact the sign company was off the week of Christmas, so that's why the sign went up on the Friday, Saturday before Christmas, to make sure it was well advertised. I agree with the speaker. Once you put up a poster, it is become into a kind of head-to-head issue. That's the nature of public hearings. We speak, they speak. That's that. But we did meet the posting requirement with the enhanced posters, four of them in French and English on the site more than 14 days before the public hearing. We're very clear with what we're doing here in terms of going to multiple family as well as creating park space. In terms of traffic, we've had lots of discussions with the Public Works Department dating back to last August, September, October. It was never an issue for them in terms of the amount of traffic being generated from this site. We're not going onto any private streets. We're directing our traffic onto St. Mary's Road. Anything else?
I guess back to what I was saying before. At this stage right now, I guess my plan of attack is going to be going back and seeing what I can make work on the site with a reduced height. That's clearly the message that I'm getting here that's going to hopefully satisfy most people here. That being said, I'd prefer not to have a situation of us being rejected at this stage. If I could ask for potentially a height similar to that of that annex property, which I'm trying to think of what the last floor height was. It keeps us just below the high building rate. I believe its last floor being 70 feet off grade is the, I think that's where the last one is, but
yeah,
it's
the floor plate, if it's more than 59 feet, your high building.
Oh, it's more than 59 feet? Okay, I'm sorry. So it's 60 feet. So the last floor being 69 feet, or 59 feet off grade. So the building itself would be...
No, 69.
Pardon me? 69?
Yeah, to the parapet.
So like the parapet 69. Is 69. Okay. So the building would be roughly 69, 70 feet high. If we... We're permitted that at this stage. I'll go back and try to design towards that, and if I find that I can't do it within the next few days, then I'll have to, of course, appeal it. But my
My intent is not to appeal it. My intent is to proceed.
There is no appeal on rezoning.
There is no appeal then, okay?
Only on the if you were doing the variance.
Oh, the variances there would be, yeah, that's appeal, correct.
There is no.
No, so what we're proposing is to chop the building in half from 150 down to 70 feet. That's more than a 70-foot.
Okay. You guys, unless you have anything else you want to add, any questions here, councillors?
No, there's also always the alternative
to just bring this back and bring back something that actually has some detail to it. And
yeah, well, I think we can do that with plan approval, but it's hard to weld the condition of consultation with the neighbors in, but I want to make sure that happens. And so I'm going to try and do something here so that we at least keep you alive, but respect what these folks are saying, and you guys can engage.
Yeah,
because you're going to have to engage.
Yeah, we agree. We recognize we've identified the neighbors who've come out tonight. We'll certainly be working with them to coming up just to, as a warning, though, we're not looking to get a building permit in the next week or two. We have to develop some plans. We'll meet with the neighbors. We appreciate them showing up this evening. We respect their comments, and that's why we've asked to